Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
So I want to speak to you. I've kind of been speaking a little bit of a series today because I'm preaching four different times, and I've been teaching in our church about growing pains, about the fact that following Jesus actually requires you to not stay the same. I mean, he loves you just as you are. That's the whole deal. He accepts you. And that's how we all begin on this journey, is just come as you are. And that's great. But he also loves you so much that he has this plan of where your life can go, of what he's placed inside of you, this potential, if you want to call it that, this calling that he's given you. But you got to grow into it. You grow into this. And I kind of titled this this series, What Do We Do Now? What do we do now? Because I've realized that that statement is a statement that you make when you are doing something that you've never done before. And this is actually good. Sometimes we think that's bad, but it's not. I was sharing about how the first time Lucinda and I brought home our first little bundle of joy. Abigail Grace, she was a bundle of other things as well, which required changing of nappies and all the rest of it. And you learn these things as you go on this journey of parenthood. But when we brought Abby home, I remember, you know, there's no more doctors, nurses, there's no family, there's no one around. It's just us. And we walked into our little home and we're in the little living area and I'm holding this beautiful little life in my hand. And I look at my wife and I say to her, what do we do now? Because literally, you don't know. It's like a brand new season of life. And there are times in life where that's exactly what you will ask. The other way that we respond to this kind of what do we do now moment is that we do something else, and that is the prayer that is associated with the what do we do now. And the prayer is a simple prayer, and you probably prayed it. I know I have many, many times. That prayer is just, Lord, help me. Anyone familiar with that prayer? I prayed that prayer a number of different times at different seasons of life. It's like looking at what's before you, and you're like, Lord, help me. Here's what I want to do today in this service is I want you, if you don't remember anything else, just remember this. I want you to add two words to that prayer, just two words. Two words to Lord, help me. And these, the two words are this: Lord, help me to grow. Lord, help me to grow. Because here's the thing, when I pray, Lord, help me, what I'm really saying many times is, God, can you take me out of this? Because I don't know how to deal with this. I'm not sure what to do. So can you somehow handle it? Take me out of it so I don't have to worry with it. I don't have to deal with it. I don't have to handle it. And God often is not going to take you out of it, but what he wants to do is cause you to grow through it. Because when you grow through it, you get to the other side and you have become a stronger person. You are more faith-filled. You have deeper character. You're able to handle things that you couldn't handle before because God didn't just take you out of it. God, you gave you the strength to go through it. Anyone know and hear what I'm talking about today? So if you don't hear anything else, you just today, this week, when you're facing a challenge, you're not just like, Lord, help me. You're going to say, Lord, help me to grow. Let's all say that after three. One, two, three. Lord, help me to grow. You sound great. Lord, help me to grow. Because if we can get that right, you know what's going to happen? You become a stronger, faith-filled believer. You become someone who used to freak out at certain things that you don't freak out anymore. You're like, oh, well, and see, this is what Gary was talking about on the screen there with the half of the house. He's like, if we can get just one of these hubs, if we can get one of them going, you know what that means? There's a momentum that comes from that. that we could see this happen in other parts around London and other parts of the UK. There is a power to that. I've grown through this. So the next time I face that kind of giant, it's actually no big deal. I've been there before. I know how to handle this. I'm ready for the next challenge. God builds our lives like this. Lord, help me to grow. I don't want to be rescued out of this. I want to learn to grow through this. Growth, by its very nature, means the unknown. I'm stepping into what I've never stepped into before. Therefore, you should not be afraid of the unknown. You should recognize that this is an opportunity for me to grow in different areas of who I am and who I'm becoming. Paul writes about this in Colossians in the Message translation. Paul writes, Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, he says, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward. I love it. He's like, look, let me just tell you the way it is. Just go ahead with what you've been given. I want you to catch that. Just go ahead with what you've been given. What do you mean, what we've been given? I feel like I need something else. I don't think I have everything I need. I look at what other people seem to have. They seem to have a lot more. Are you telling me I should go because I don't feel like I can go because I don't feel like I've got what I need? And yet Paul is saying, just go ahead. Let me make it really plain. You've already got it. You've received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live in Him. You're deeply rooted in Him. You were well constructed upon Him. You know your way around faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Paul is saying, hey, when you committed your life to Jesus, what He enabled to come alive in you gives you a whole lot more capacity than maybe you see in you, but God sees it in there. He's put it in there in you already. So take the next step. Take the next step. Take the next step. What I've realized is that we do this. If you're a parent, you do this with your kids. If you're a parent, and we also do it with our friends, but we do this as a parent with our kids because our kids come to us and it's like the first day of school or they're going into high school or, you know, they're starting a new sport and they're like, oh, you know, I don't know if I can do it and I'm a little bit nervous. And you're like, no, you're going to be great. You can do this. And they're like, really? You think so? And you're like, yes. And in your mind, you're kind of not sure, but yeah, as a parent, what do? As a parent, you always tell you, yeah, you're going to do great. You'll be fine. You can make it happen. You've got this. And your kids are kind of like, okay, I can do this. We do it with friends, don't we? Like if a friend comes to you with a dream, with an idea or something like that, you're like, man, you can do that. You know, there's more in you. I reckon you should go for it. You know, often we're encouraging of others. We encourage the best out of our kids. But here's what I've realized, we often don't do it to ourselves. It's like I can encourage everyone else to go for it and build something and do something great and encourage you guys here, man, build something phenomenal in central London and go back to South Africa and think about all the reasons why it's difficult for us there. And what's interesting is we can believe this for others. But God wants us to believe it for ourselves, that there's more in you, that it's already there, and I'm going to have the courage to step into it. See, what's the alternative to what do we do now? Well, I suppose the alternative is it's boring. Life's boring. Nothing good's happening. Someone should do something. I wish things would be different. Have you ever heard that? I'm saying, oh man, life's just boring. Nothing's happening. And I wish things would change and wish it would look different. It's an interesting verse in Proverbs 21, 20. Trying to do my Deo voice. in the middle. How good's Deo? I mean, like, wow, amazing. Just comes up so casual and just blows us away. It's like, I'm like, it's not fair, Lord. What happened to my voice? Here's an interesting verse, Proverbs 21, 25. It says, despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work. It's kind of in your face, isn't it? You can't hide from that one. You can't theologically try and interpret it any other way than basically it's saying, if nothing's happening, it's because nothing's happening. And if you want something to happen, you need to do something. And I want to tell you today, there's more in you. And those of you who are feeling bored in life or like nothing's happening, God's already got a plan for you, and it's time for you to actually get up and start taking some steps and some action. Come on, and saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Because I'm ready to do something. And I guarantee very quickly, God will start to show you things. Show you people. Show you opportunities. Show you what you can step into. We may have the desire. We may wish for something. We may even pray about it. But have we got the courage to take the action? See, this is the only way that we grow. I mentioned in the last service how the disciples were very different men after 3 years with Jesus than they were when they started with him. And I think sometimes we forget that. They went on the most intensive, whether you call it leadership growth program, you can imagine their minds were messed with because Jesus did things so differently from anyone else. The way he loved people blew their minds because it didn't relate to how culture said you should love people. The way he responded to situations, the way he cared and the way he healed and just everything about him messed with everything they'd ever known. They were different men. They grew. In fact, what's interesting is if you read the Gospels, it says a whole lot of people left. At one point, a whole lot of disciples just left and walked away. Why? Because I think it got to a point where they couldn't handle the growth that was necessary in order to become what Jesus saw that they could become. I don't think God's heart is that any one of us walk away. And I think the only reason we do is because we fail to see in ourselves what God sees in us. And we think, I'm not really good enough and I'd never be accepted and I'd never meet certain expectations or standard. And it is the biggest lie there ever was. You just get about doing what you can do to the best of your ability. And I guarantee the Spirit of God will be with you and you'll see all kinds of miracles and God will confound all kinds of natural ways of thinking when you just decide, just in my own simple way, I'm going to do my best to serve Him, to love others, and with my life to make a difference. See, every time you do something new, you have that feeling of, what do I do now? And I kind of think about people who come to church for the first time and I think, well done. Because it's actually a courageous thing. It's like if you go to the gym or something like that for the first time, you kind of walk into the gym and it seems like everyone else knows what they're doing. And everyone else looks really fit and together and they know how all the equipment works and they've got really cool coordinated fitness gym outfits and you've turned up and you know nothing and you've got a t-shirt on that was the only one you could find that was from a church function 3 years ago. You're like, oh, probably wear that and your shoes aren't the coolest shoes and you're looking at equipment going, what does that actually do? Could I die if I do the wrong thing on that? And And so you kind of go, but you've got this desire. You want to grow in some way. You want to get better. And so you go in there and all your insecurities, you're prepared to commit. And I think about that with church. I think about people who come into our church and I think that is courageous. Because just to come to church is not, I get it, is not an easy thing for someone to do. If you're not normally, you know, come into church, you come into our church and it's like all these happy, smiley people. It's like, that's not normal. Like I've had people who've said, I came in and I saw these people and they're really kind and really welcoming and it was wonderful, but I wondered, are they on drugs? Like literally asking the question because they're so friendly and nice and this, I've never really experienced this. And then you come in and you're kind of looking around and it's and in our church, one of our locations, you know, the kids ministry is in a different area and you know, and kind of like here and it's like, hey, we've got somewhere for your kids and it's in a different area. And it's like, oh, they take the kids to a different area. What do they do in a different area? The kids go to a different, what's going on here? And then it's, you know, everyone, and the music's happening. The music seems great, but everyone's, you know, in the music and then everyone's got their hands up. Like, why? Does everyone have a question? You know, what? Like, if you think about it from the perspective of someone who doesn't normally go to church, there's some things that we do that could look kind of unusual. But this is what happens when you want to grow. You put yourself in environments which are kind of different and unusual. And I say well done to anyone who comes, because people do, every week to church. Good on you. You had the courage to be here. We want to put our hands together and say we're glad you're here, okay? Because we get it. And I never want to take that for granted. I never want to forget how it feels for some people. Because you made a commitment to come here because you really wanted something. And I believe God really wants to speak to you. And for you to know that He loves you. And He truly is interested in your life. And He truly does want the best for you and wants to know you. And sometimes we forget about the process of stepping into new things because it can bring out every insecurity in you. And that's where we've got to learn to trust. And when it comes to serving God, dealing with these insecurities and getting over them so that God can use us is a big part of this growth process in us. See, here's what I've realized about any kind of change in growth in my life is that it's actually never easy. And sadly, it's why we sometimes stop growing. Because growth and change is difficult. It's not easy. It's going to mean letting go of certain things. And it's going to mean stepping into certain new things. Simple thought, growing is hard and complaining is easy. This is what I've learned. And we see this in the Bible. We actually see this happen in God's word, with God's people. God's people referred to in the Old Testament as the Israelites, God's chosen people. And God, the Old Testament of the Bible is kind of an overarching picture of humanity's relationship with God. And we can see a lot of ourselves through these different stories that we read about. And you may be unfamiliar, many of you are familiar with the Bible, but you may be unfamiliar with it, but the Old Testament stories are often a reflection of our humanity and how we relate to God and where we get it right and where we get it wrong. And what we see with the Israelites, who are God's people, is that God always has a promise for His people. He always has the best in mind. Like any good parent, if you will, you want the best for your kids and you're trying to help them to make good choices towards that. Well, God does that with His people and they go on this journey toward what is often referred to as the promised land. The promised land, a place where they will be able to live well, where they will be able to grow, where they will be a blessing where their lives will not just be for themselves, but also for others. And God takes them on this journey towards that. And here's what I've realized in this journey is that there's four things that God does in our lives. And I think they may be going to come up on the screen. Four things here. Number one, God rescues us. Okay. So what happens when you commit your life to God and you invite Jesus, the Son of God, into your life, and he forgives and redeems us, which means gives us access to a brand new relationship with God. God rescues you out of your sin. There's no other way to get out of it. You can't earn your way out of it. You can't behave your way out of it. You can't religify yourself out of it. Okay, God rescues us. It's the only way. We can't do it ourselves. He rescues us. But then from that, God restores us. He restores us into relationship with Him, but He also, Psalm 23 talks about how He restores our soul. He heals the brokenhearted. So we come in with various pain and wounds and brokenness, and God starts this process of restoration and healing within us. But then from there, what God does is God reminds us. He reminds us of where we've been, and He reminds us also of where we're going, that we haven't reached our final destination. He kind of goes, hey, remember when I did this? I just want you to know that I'm telling you that to remind you that I can still do these things. And I want to remind you that where you're at right now is not your final destination. But then what I see that He also does is He releases us. Now, you might think, what do you mean God releases us? Well, the way I describe it is that God releases us like a parent releases their child when they get to adulthood. So you're still God's child, but there comes a point where God says, okay, I want you to be released into the promise I have for your life. A parent releases their children so that they move out of the house. They pay their own rent. They buy their own clothes. Help me, Jesus. They provide for themselves. And then what happens is they then start to do that as they develop their own life. So God is still there, but He releases you to a point where you are growing in your capacity. And this process is something that many of us stall at along the way. See, the Israelites, who have to grow into this promise, get to the point where they're at the reminding phase. And here's what happens. Numbers 14, verse 1. After they've seen the promise, the spies have been there, God's people have said, we can see the promised land. This is what happens. It says, that night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we died in Egypt, so they'd come from one place and they were going to a new place, or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Can we just stop there for a moment? Egypt was a place for God's people where they were oppressed. It was not a good place. They were beaten up. They were maltreated. I mean, everything, life was bad. And yet they are just about to get to a point where they go into the new promise. It's going to require them to grow in who they are. And because they're afraid of the new thing and the new promise, they look and go, my goodness, it would be easier back here. No, it wouldn't. It's not going to be better back there. There is nothing back there that is better than what is ahead that God has for you. Come on, we've got to stop looking back and thinking maybe that would be easier. And here's God's people, and we can read that and look at them and go, they are so stupid, ridiculous, idiots. But we do this. We do this. God says, here's what I have for you. And we look at it and we freak out and we think, I don't have what it takes. And we look back and say, maybe it would be easier just to go back to the way things were, or just to camp where we are right now. And that is never God's best. When we complain, what is happening is we are voicing the negative feelings that inhibit the courage to step into your future. I want to encourage you today to stop complaining. Even just dial it down a little bit. Because I've learned that the more I complain, the more I limit the ability of God to work in my life. Because somehow my words have a whole lot of power over the way I live, the way I think, and the faith I have in God. And there are times where I've got to just be quiet and stop complaining and stop speaking negativity, because it's not going to help me and it's not going to help anyone else and it's not going to help me to grow in any way. I got to be careful about the words I speak. Because God is always wanting to take me forward. He's always wanted to take you forward. And yet we look at where we're at and we can complain and go, it isn't what I thought it would be. I don't think I can grow. It would be safer, easier, more comfortable to go back. And it's never going to help you or anyone else to become who God's called you to be. Sometimes, as we conclude, you know, I've realized that sometimes we have well-meaning people who want to speak to us about our potential growth, but who don't understand what God has spoken into our hearts. Many years ago, I'd finished my university degree and I decided to do our internship at our church. From there, you know, step into a ministry role of some sort. And I remember telling my Nana this. And God bless Nanas. We love Nanas and grandmas. They're awesome. But I remember when I told my Nana that I wasn't going to go into a job that she felt was appropriate. I'd done a business degree, and so Nana had high hopes for her grandson. I was going to do an internship at my local church. And I remember Nana looking at me and saying, but how will you ever provide for a family? How will you ever be able to buy a house? And I get it. Nana was looking at things in a very rational manner. But Nana hadn't heard from God about a promise for my future the way I had heard from God about a promise for my future. And the reality was, I didn't have all the answers for Nana. I didn't know how it was going to work out. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew that I couldn't stay where I was. I knew I couldn't go back to what had been. I knew I had to go forward into the unknown, trusting that God was with me. And God bless Nana. She kept finding jobs for me. How awesome. In fact, she would look through the newspaper and she would cut jobs out of the newspaper and she would mail them to me and say, just in case it doesn't work out in church, here's a couple of other options. And I get it. God bless Nana. Nana's wonderful. But we got to be so careful about those voices, because those voices can affect our ability to step forward into what God has for us. And I don't know about you, but I want to keep on growing, because I know on the other side of the courage to grow, there's a whole lot of God miracles that are going to help and impact the lives of a whole lot of people. And so we got to be the kind of people, come on, who have the courage to keep on growing and stepping forward into what God has for us. Will you stand with me? Understanding that growth is hard is actually helpful, because when we experience it, we don't freak out so much, because we're like, oh, okay, I get it. This is an opportunity to grow. Oh, I get it. God's testing me because I got to deal with some character things. Oh, okay, I get it. There's some things here that I need to work on. There's some areas in my life that I need to leave behind, move forward from. All of these things are part of this process of growth. Not just, Lord, help me so I can get out of it, but Lord, help me to grow so I can get stronger through it. If you're facing a battle right now and you've been wanting to get out of it, but you know God wants to give you strength to go through it, and you're going to come out of the other side with greater faith and a greater understanding of who He is, and I believe with a testimony of the goodness of God, I want to pray with you. Would you lift your hand if you're facing something right now? And it has been hard, and I get it, and it's been difficult, and maybe there's been voices telling you, why would you even stay? Why would you even do that? Why would you even? And it's like, I got to keep listening to the voice of God in this season. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd speak into the lives of every person here. Lord, that you would remind us that you are in control. Even at times when we don't really understand all that's going on, and yet we just want to keep holding on to you. We do not want to give up. And Lord, we know that there is more that you have for us. I pray that faith would rise in the hearts of every man and woman here, every person who's facing a battle, that Lord God, they would have the strength to grow through it and keep on growing in order to become all that you've called them to be. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.